That's why I see him in my shirt. Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my shirt. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Chris Black in for Cap, I am Jay Hood. We've got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you, and we got Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
our good friends at Hawthorne Racecourse and Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
Secretariat? Is that Secretariat in the background?
It is. He always comes to the studio.
Did I miss lunch with him?
No, I don't think you'd have lunch with a horse.
Oh, okay. All right.
But then before Autumn, I know who you dated, so maybe that is the case.
Well, As we turn now.
Why the long face?
That's why I asked, and then you broke up with her. We turn now to Shay Dorling with a Shot or No Shot. All right, Shay, what do you
love
have?
That.
Good morning, fellas. Hoodie, I got to tell you, I listened on Friday from when I was out, and hearing Cap, I think Jake was running Secretariat and didn't play it. And Cap said, there's Secretariat. He wasn't feeling good. Good luck with the laminitis, kid. Was one of the funniest things I think I've heard come out of Cap's mouth in my life.
Like, I had to look it up, though. First of all, I was like, what, laminitis? Did I go to high school with that guy? You know, good Greek family? I don't remember.
James Laminitis?
Yeah, exactly.
Strong linebacker, yeah.
From Ohio State, right? I didn't know what that was at first. It's like, okay, all right. And so good luck with the laminitis, kid. You call the horse a kid. Everyone's kid.
Well, I mean,
it made me laugh so because it really felt like endearing to Secretariat too. Like you really cared about the horse. It made me laugh so hard.
Nobody cares about a dead horse like my partner.
I mean, the very best story is the story that he still is upset that he missed lunch with the horse. He didn't take the drive to go have lunch with a horse. It is the best story ever on this station. When Zerman and I heard that the first time, we continued to make fun of it and to play it. And I was playing sweet music in the background like they were having a love affair. It was my absolute favorite thing we ever did on the old Cap and Company show. The fact that he was so heartbroken over missing lunch with a horse is the greatest comedy I've ever heard of. It's so fantastic.
It's too bad. I mean, that still should be around. We could do that now and put it at the old Ditka's.
Oh, lunch with a horse. Lunch with a horse.
Good luck with the laminitis, kid.
Good luck.
Let's get into Shot or No Shot, boys. Matt Eberflus offered some clarification on the baffling play calling in the final drive in Atlanta yesterday. Listen to this.
Miscommunication. You know, I think it was just miscommunication on that particular play between the halfback, quarterback, and all that, so...
So the second play on that final drive, the designed run for Fields, was supposed to be a handoff to David Montgomery. So still a running play. Post-game in Atlanta, Eberflus claimed the Bears were in their, quote, normal two-minute operation. Regardless whether it was for Fields or Monty, it would have been two designed runs on the first two plays of your normal two-minute operation. Shot or no shot? This seriously damages the faith you have in offensive play calling.
That's a no shot. I don't think that this one-off or some of the things I've seen says I have no faith in the play calling. What I would say is, Chris, is that this has to get better. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, but again, I don't expect for Luke Getsy to come in here and cure everything offensively. He's learning too, just like Fields, just like Eberflus. So in this instance, I'll say no shot.
I think it's
early.
It is early. I'd say this. We can give Getsy all the credit in the world for this offense, scoring 30 points in multiple games for basically a month, moving the football, scoring touchdowns, scheming guys open like Komet in the red zone. But he has been brutal in late game situations this season. As far as final drives where the Bears need to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown to tie, or win the football game, I'd say I'm going to have to say no shot for right now. But I am looking at this situation and questioning, you're planning on running the football twice under 2 minutes. You have to go down and kick a field goal. I get if you have a spread situation, you have wide receivers out, and Justin decides to leave the pocket to run, that type of play, I'm okay with. but the designed run with the quarterback or the designed handoff to Montgomery in that situation was not going to work. And so, like, it was bad, and I blame Getsy for it, but I'm going to give you a no shot for the answer.
Shay.
All right, the Bears' offensive line this season has been dreadful. We know that, but there have been a couple bright spots. Tevin Jenkins, who did not play, has shown himself more than capable at guard. And fifth-round FCS rookie draft pick Braxton Jones has improved every week at left tackle. In his last two games against Detroit and Atlanta, Jones has given up just two pressures in 21 one-on-one pass protection situations. No hits, no sacks. Shot or no shot, Braxton Jones has proved he can be a stud left tackle in this league.
That's a no shot. And I will. The only reason why is because, again, nice sample size. But as you know, Shay, as you know, Chris, it takes more than just a sample size. Braxton Jones is an underdog in that spot because of his draft position, as Shay just laid out. But from now to the rest of the season, if he's able to have numbers similar to that, in which he's able to hold his own water, man, you got something there.
I'm going to say no shot as well. You're going to have to spend money for an offensive tackle this offseason, if not draft one higher in the draft. First-round pick, something early to solidify this line. The talent that Braxton Jones brings to the table, he is getting the most out of that talent this year, but I don't think he is a long-term solution for this offensive line. You got to spend on both lines this offseason, and you have to protect your quarterback. That's the number one objective this offseason, so I'm going to give you a no shot.
Something surprised me this morning while I was prepping the show. I was watching the 4 a.m. World Cup, and something happened that, frankly, is shocking in the world of sports.
Soccer?
Powerhouse Argentina lost outright to Saudi Arabia, a 23-1 underdog. Argentina was the most popular bet at most sports books to win the entire tournament. So my question, shot or no shot, Saudi Arabia beating Argentina at the World Cup this morning is one of the biggest upsets in sports history.
Ever!
It's one of the biggest upsets today. No shot.
No shot. I would say it's big. What was the hype leading up to it? I feel like to say it's the biggest upset of all time, there has to be some kind of build where we're all paying attention. I get it. People who were up early watching the World Cup saw it. Mm-hmm. I did not see it. I walked in late to see the very end of the final minutes of stoppage time there, right at the end. But yeah, no shot. Come on, Shay. Not everything is the greatest of all time. Come on.
23-1 dog, straight up okay. Winner at the World Cup. I understand in this country, nobody saw it. Globally, it's probably the biggest story of the day.
We don't care. We're talking about here.
Okay. The idea that nobody saw it in America is not true either.
I mean,
those early open bars.
I said
bars,
people who were up watching.
Yeah.
I qualified it.
No. I mean, but you have to work these hours, Shay. You just have to be on the monitor.
Come on, Shay. Give us the breakdown. U.S. men's national team, Wales, 1-1 tie. Your thoughts. Now, can they get out of the group? That was a game they had to get. This is going to be tough. England on Friday, the biggest game in the history of the world for the Americans. What are you guys doing for the game? Are you guys going to be watching? I'll be watching. Yes, Can't wait.
I will be watching.
But
I believe that we will tie.
I have some thoughts on the official yesterday, but I don't want to get in trouble. So
just as a sidebar, may I approach? Brought to you by Aiken Law, 312-6 million. Sign my ball.
Sign my ball.
The idea that that the United States lost to Iowa yesterday, or pretty much tied with Iowa. Because Wales is about as big as the state of Iowa, is just incredible to me. And also, I will say this. Time for a new slogan, America. I believe that we will win. You believe, or are you sure? You sure you're going to win?
I believe that we will tie.
I
get out of the group.
I believe you need a new slogan. How about be sure that you're going to win? The notion that you believe that you're going to win, are you going to win? Let's change that out. Let's try to change and remix that slogan if we can.
Sidebar to the sidebar, plus a no shot or no shot. Shay, if the U.S. men's national team wins the World Cup, it will be the greatest moment in sporting history.
Shot. It would be the greatest moment in American soccer history. Shot.
Sporting. I said sporting. I didn't say soccer. Sporting history. U.S. men's national team. They come back. They beat England 3-1 on Friday.
Probably pales in comparison to Secretariat winning the Triple Crown.
Having lunch with Secretariat. He's having, hey, I'm having a salad.
It's unbelievable. So what's next here on First Things First?
Fox cameras picked up a group of Bears fans in Atlanta. Five 20-something guys all in identical Mike Ditka sweater vest outfits. But it gets better because the bachelor party got posted on Twitter. 17 guys went to the game wearing matching Ditka outfits.
A lot of Ditkas.
In Atlanta. 17 of them. Shot or no shot. This is the best Chicago bachelor party.
That is a shot. As far as going to a game, all right, it's a shot in this regard. You're going to see Bears in Atlanta. It's a bachelor party. You dress up in the old 85 Ditka sweaters. Pretty nice shot.
Yeah, I think for the circumstance, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'll give credit to the roaming Ditkas down in Atlanta. I'll give them credit for that.
I love the Saudi Arabian team getting over, but yet like Maryland, Baltimore County beating Virginia. 16 beating one? Nah.
NFL football, it doesn't matter. But, you know, we're watching soccer at 4 a.m. It's the greatest event in the history of the world.
It's the biggest event in the world.
Shay is so annoyed with us, Hood. You should see his face right now. He is not happy that we are poking fun at soccer.
I don't care.
That tells it all right there. That last sentence, I don't care. Go ahead, Shay Wilson.
All right, this last one's for you, Chris.
There you go.
Thanksgiving dinner is right around the corner, and we found out Chris Black is hosting for the first time. Well, something rising in popularity is using an air fryer to cook the turkey.
Oh, no.
Many air fryers aren't actually big enough to fit the whole turkey, so people have been resorting to cutting it into pieces beforehand. For a slightly quicker way to prep their Thanksgiving turkey. Shot or no shot, air frying a Thanksgiving turkey is actually a good idea.
Jonathan?
We asked you.
All right, so my response is no shot. That's not a good idea. I have to see people trying to cut the turkeys. They got a 16-pound turkey that they're cutting and they're putting in air fryers. What are you, an idiot? Come on now. Now listen, this is how we're going to do it. We have the old school turkey in the oven. My dad is going to deep fry a turkey and then bring it over. So we'll have dual turkeys.
The deep fried turkey is great.
It's fantastic. It's the best. It's the main, it's the highlight of the day, the deep fried turkey.
I will say no shot to that. However, we do have to think about people that can't put it in the little green egg like I will or barbecue it.
Barbecue is good.
No, I mean, seriously. I mean, that's how I'm going to do it. Put a little green egg or barbecue it on the, you know, I could do that. But for some, they don't know how to cook it, and they use that device for everything, like making muffins and making toast. They just put it in there for everything. I mean, it's really become, Shay, the new George Foreman grill. Just put anything in there.
I got to tell you, if I go to your Thanksgiving dinner and I see an air fryer and you're putting a turkey in it, I'm leaving.
Yeah,
I'm
out. I wouldn't question. Partake in that.
I'm out.
It's the best way to reheat fries.
Well, of course. Yes it is. McDonald's but, like, fries. Why would someone think that that's a better option than just putting it in the oven?
Well, right.
Well, because the oven same takes, thing. What, 8 hours or whatever? People are lazy. You put it in the air fryer, you get it done.
No, you're not. You're not going to cook a turkey. A turkey in 10 minutes is not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen in 10 minutes, but no, it'll probably be quicker than the oven.
I don't think so.
Well, look.
No, I would rather.
You serious?
The whole thing, the whole reason it's rising in popularity is because it's quicker. It's a time saver.
It's small.
But the gross part is you cut the uncooked turkey and then put pieces of the uncooked turkey into the air fryer. I'm out. If I see that, that's so disrespectful.
Functionally.
To your Thanksgiving dinner, I'm out.
Functionally, what's the difference between the air fryer and the oven? What's the difference?
Here you go, Shay. Dinner. Ding, ding, ding. Here
there
it
is
goes.
Something right about the air fryer being quicker.
Out of the air fryer. Here you go.
Let's try an easy bake oven one of these days.
It's not Thursday, but I will tell you, an air fryer turkey is a deal breaker. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm with Shay. I'm leaving. I would rather go get fast food at that point.
Coming up next, we will go around the National Football League, some of the highlights around the NFL. And don't forget Albert Breer with his thoughts about the Bears in the NFL. That's at 8:35. We're giving away AEW tickets at 8:50. You want to go to the Wintrust Arena? Chris and I got a pair of tickets for you. All part of this hour on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J-Hood.
Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winning.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League. Along with Chris Black, who's in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Still to come, we'll hear from Albert Breer, get his thoughts from Monday Morning Quarterback about the Bears and the NFL. It's at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000. Shay, it's so interesting. We heard, you know, always in our open, Lovie Smith, like, you know, what answers you want me to give. There was a little contentious there between a media member and Lovie Smith, because that guy, whoever he is, the Texans guy, he wants answers. How come you keep losing? How come there's no one in the, you know, in the ballpark? You know, the attendance is down. No one's showing up to the games. And Lovey's not going to give you any answers. But it was pretty contentious back and forth. If we wondered, did Bill O'Brien get any of that fluff when he was coaching the Texans? Probably not.
Jonathan, they were working on it. That was Lovey's rationale. They're working on it.
Yeah.
It's progress. It's all a work in progress.
That big, tough media in H-Town. All right, let's turn to Shay Norley now as we go around the NFL.
Shay. Oh, good morning, Shay.
Good morning. Well, there's nowhere better to start when we go around the NFL. We already talked at length, and we'll talk more about Justin Fields and his injury. That's one of the stories dominating national news in the NFL. The other story relates to the Bears' opponent this weekend. Robert Saleh would not commit to Zach Wilson as the starter for the Jets this weekend.
Jets, okay. The
so, Jets. There's a chance that we will be watching Trevor Siemian and Mike White face off when the Bears and Jets play on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what the doctor ordered. That very well could happen, too. I mean, it's still a coin flip from what I heard on ESPN New York this morning, Chris, that whether or not Salah's going to go with Zach Wilson. You know the comments he made. I think that might have rocked the locker room with him saying that he had really nothing to do with how inept that offense was. So we could get a change for the Jets here in this game. We'll see.
Right. An arrogant kid. That's what Zach Wilson is, right? You and I talk college football. We love college football. Mm-hmm. And the MO on Zach Wilson was he beat up the bad schools when he was at BYU. When they had a tough test on the road at Coastal Carolina, Zach Wilson was terrible. So it was something that I always had in the back of my mind that I don't know if he's as good as everyone's making him out to be. And then remember in the pre-draft situation, he had his workout. He had one nice throw where there were no people on the field, but he curled out of the pocket and hurled it 50 yards in the air. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh my gosh, look at Zach Wilson. He's wearing shorts and throwing the football really far. It's like every quarterback can do that if they're out there by themselves with a wide receiver. I didn't buy the Zach Wilson hype. I am thrilled that the Bears have Justin Fields and the Jets took Wilson. Now they're dealing with this kid, and it's a problem for them because they are a playoff team. They are a team that could actually do something this season, except they picked the wrong quarterback, and we saw it from the start. And I'm thankful to be a Bears fan and to have Justin Fields here.
103 yards of offense, Shay. 9 for 22, good for 77 yards. And Saleh looks at it and says, you know, we might be close. We might need to change. So we'll keep our eyes on that for Sunday.
Hoodie, negative 21 passing yards in the second half.
Whoa!
Negative 21 passing yards.
Wow! That's rough. All right, what else do we
have? He's awful. Well, speaking of quarterbacks and last year's rookie class, the 49ers blew out the Cardinals 38-10 last night in Mexico City, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw four touchdowns. So, spinning this back to last year's rookie draft class, is Trey Lance done before he even starts in San Francisco?
You know, I don't think so. I'll spin it this way by saying we've been on this roller coaster so much that we're starting to throw up here about Garoppolo. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? Up and down, up and down. Okay, good enough against the Arizona Cardinals. I just think that he's fine. I think he's fine as a quarterback. And yeah, is Trey Lance in the rearview mirror? Yeah, he definitely is for this season, Chris. But I think if we're just going to rate Garoppolo, we'll just say, you know what, he's fine. I think we can say the same thing for like a Tannehill with the Titans as well. Like, you know what, he's serviceable, and I think I can say it for Garoppolo.
Yeah, then you could throw Kirk Cousins into that mix. Cousins, Garoppolo, Tannehill. They're guys who are not top 10 quarterbacks, but they're not in the bottom category of quarterbacks in the NFL. I would say I wouldn't rule out that Trey Lance is done with the 49ers. I would imagine San Francisco, however their season ends right now, they're 6-4. They're angling towards the playoffs at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I would say however that ends, chances are if they don't win a Super Bowl, there'll be a team that's ultra-aggressive in the offseason going after either a trade for a quarterback or doing something else. I don't think it's sold either way, Lance, Garoppolo for the future. I think they're a team that desperately wants to win, and they'll continue to try and fix that quarterback position. Garoppolo was fantastic last night, though. 20 for 29 with 4 touchdowns. He looked good.
And Shea, he looked like $1 million. You see that suit he was wearing when he came in?
Smooth.
Oh, yeah. Holy bleep. And then Colt McCoy comes in there with like his checkered board shirt looking like he just came back from a picnic in July. I mean, it just shows you the difference between the two. Colt's just Colt, but Garoppolo, GQ all the way. Looks the part. Is he the part? We'll find out.
All right, I want to ask about the Rams. We haven't talked much about them this season, but Matthew Stafford has gone into concussion protocol for the second time this year. They are 14.5-point underdogs against Buffalo this weekend. Projected 14.5 the week after Thanksgiving, excuse me. But obviously, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. In this upcoming draft, they will pick twice in the first 5 rounds. Has it kind of shown that, like, the salary cap gymnastics every year and trading all of your picks, you can't do it long term? You got the Super Bowl, but long term, you're screwed.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that we could say the same thing for basketball in some ways, too, with the Warriors. So, that you know, some teams, Jay, as you well know, they don't care about their luxury tax or salary cap. They're just like, you know what? We need to get as many assets in here as possible to win a championship because that's the goal. And then if there's long-term ramifications of financial woes that you go through with players, so be it. Because ultimately, it's just about to win the championship.
Let me say this. Like, we can criticize the move right now. They won. But, like, how great, like, was it worth it? If you're a Bears fan and the Bears took that same approach, would you be happy with one championship in 37 years?
Yes.
If they went all in and they get the one championship for 37 years, are you content?
Yes. I've always asked this.
And you guys are content with one championship in 37 years?
I've asked Cap and Hoodie this in text. I don't think we've ever done it on the air, but if you could have 10 years of being dominant, but you don't win the championship, or you win 1 year, but you're awful for a decade after, which would you take?
Here's where I'm angling with this. The reason I keep saying 37 is I'm 37. I was born in the year 1985. The Bears won the Super Bowl in 86, January of 86. I was less than a year old. My point is, I am not satisfied with that one championship in over 30 years. It is not worth the one championship to all we hear, like Ram fans for the next 30 years, is it okay that all they hear about was the Aaron Donald Stafford year where the one season it worked out? I don't know if that's necessarily worth it. I think trying to get there multiple times, having multiple shots at it, is a better way to go.
To be fair, all dozens of Rams fans might not be too loud a chorus.
That's the point. That's the point. So am I satisfied that the Bears have not gotten back there since I was in, sixth grade? No. No. But here's the thing, though. Because it's the Rams and because it's new and fresh in Los Angeles, everything worked out. You won the Super Bowl in L.A., in your building, right?
Yeah, it definitely worked out.
Okay, so moving forward, everything else is gravy. Brand new building, win a Super Bowl, Rams fans from St. Louis or back in L.A., they should be happy with the championship. It is worth it to put all your chips in the middle of the table because Shea asked the great question. Would you rather be the Portland Trailblazers or would you, you know, having great teams for a long time? What would you say, Chris? It was about like 10 years, 12 years of being in the playoffs, something like that, before they bottomed out?
Yeah, it was quite some time, yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather have that or have the one championship?
I mean, it's clear in this situation, the way to build in the NFL is through the draft. So mortgaging the future just for the star who is disgruntled and then giving up draft capital is not the way to build. And it's no surprise that they're now struggling. They have zero depth on the team. Mm-hmm. And once a guy like Stafford goes down, it basically breaks the offense. And then defensively, they don't have guys to replace because they don't have the draft picks. And so to Shea's original question, like the outlook for the Rams is pretty bleak going forward.
Yeah, I think that at some point the Chargers are going to pass him up just because Herbert is, I think, is that good. I think he's proven that he's that good as a quarterback. He might be a little bit down this year, but I think the arrow's pointing up for him as a quarterback on that Chargers team.
Who's the Rams backup? Bryce something? I can't even ever remember his name.
Backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Isn't it like Wolford
or
something?
It's John Wolford, right?
Yeah. Wolford played last 2 weeks ago, right?
It's John Bryce Wolford. That's it.
Jake Rams, Bryce Perkins, and John Wolford. Bryce Perkins and John Wolford. That's
David,
who it is.
Booty.
General Booty.
I'm all for it. Salute. Coming up, we will hear from Albert Breer, his thoughts about the Bears and the NFL. Don't forget, AEW tickets were given away at 8:50. When you hear an AEW theme, make sure you're the first caller to check in on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
In Chicago, Chris Black is in for Cap. I'm Jonathan Hood. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch the show. Thanks for keeping the conversation going on Twitch. Chris and I have been talking to you about the Bears and talking to you about Justin Fields because, based on what Matt Eberflus said yesterday, it's still undetermined, Chris, whether or not Justin Fields is going to play. I just thought his quote was very interesting. I'm not sure. Is he going to play against the Jets, or is he going to play at all for the rest of the season? There was a big donut hole in the middle of what Eberflus was saying yesterday.
Yeah, and we have reports from the NFL Network last night suggesting that sources are saying Fields has a dislocated shoulder, and then Pro Football Talk disputed those reports. So we'll find out on Wednesday when the Bears report back to Halas Hall for practice, and they'll let us know whether or not Justin Fields is going to be prepping for the Jets, or if we are looking at something that is a little bit more long term. The Bears have the Jets and the Packers, and then they have their bye week. So you could theoretically look at almost a month's amount of time to prepare Fields to get healthy, to get right, and to get back into the mix for the final four games of the season. But I think the most important thing is they need to make sure he's healthy before he goes back out there.
That is true. Let's hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. He had a number of things to say, including was talking about the Fields injury. You know, it is a follow-up question, but also Eberflus talks about the Fields injury.
We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. And again, it is day-to-day, so we'll see where it is. That's all I really can give you right now.
You're saying it's day-to-day because Patrick was talking about, is it a season-ending injury? So we're not going to find out on Wednesday that it's season-ending injury, right?
Well, we'll find out Wednesday. We'll see where it is. We'll see how he's feeling, how he's doing. And it's like a day-to-day proposition right now, so we'll see.
Also, some thoughts from Eberflus, planning anything differently because of Justin Fields.
No, I think it's just the cramping. You know, I just think he's got to do a good job, you know, with preparing, you know, as we go through. Again, it's, you never know how it comes about. You know, you just got to make sure that each player does a good job preparing his body, so make sure he's at peak performance at game time. And sometimes you can't do anything about it. Sometimes your body is just cramping. You know, you put out a lot of energy, you sweat a lot, and you cramp sometimes. But that's all it really was.
All right, some thoughts there from Matt Eberflus as we go to Albert Breer. Albert Breer is with us here on ESPN 1000 from Monday Morning Quarterback. He joins us every Tuesday at 8:35. He joins us here on ESPN 1000 with Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. Bert, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
You got it. Sorry I was late there. I think I got caught in a bad cell area. And I'm going to warn you guys, I'm going to pull my driveway in a minute. My Aussie is going to go crazy in the back.
Yeah.
So just fair warning, all your listeners are going to get some loud barking about
love
3
it.
Minutes.
No, we love it. We love it. You know we love ambiance on this show. As long as it's you.
Yeah. Natural sound, right?
We love the nat sound. So you just heard from Matt Eberflus there, the head coach for the Bears. We don't know the condition of Justin Fields, but I'm interested in finding out the national perspective of how Justin Fields has been playing. We know that he's running the football well, getting first downs. This is why the Bears have lost close games. But what do you think of the in-between game, him throwing the football versus running it? What's the perception?
I mean, I think the biggest question is how sustainable it is, you know. And I think one of the things that you're seeing now is part of why, you know, I think when he was at Ohio State, they were careful in how much they used him as a runner, in that, like, he's fearless, he's tough, he's got all these great qualities, but he doesn't avoid contact the way, like, somebody like, say, Lamar Jackson does. And I think you guys are seeing it now where he runs powerfully, you know, and he doesn't really avoid contact as much. Now, he can run away from people, but it's not like in the phone booth he's making people miss, you know. And so it's a good quality about him, you know, like that he's tough enough to do that and that he's willing to do it. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, those sorts of hits pile up and eventually, like, you get into a situation where something is going to come up. And I think that's sort of where they are now. I mean, everybody remembers the broken ribs, you know, in the college football playoff a couple of years ago. The year before that, he sprained his MCL running and was limited in that year's college football playoff. And so I think it's just sort of a reality when you run a guy who runs the way that Justin does, that, you know, there's going to be this sort of price to pay. And that's why I think, you know, going forward, you probably want to try to, you know, strike a better balance, you know, because I know you've had to do this to help him grow. But you want to, I think, find a way to strike a better balance as far as how much you're exposing him to contact, but also wanting to highlight what he's really good at.
Albert, Luke Getsy has done a great job this season revamping this Bears offense, but in the two-minute drill, the Bears have really lacked. What'd you make of the play calling there against the Falcons? The first two plays are runs with the quarterback who clearly was fatigued. What'd you make of the way the Bears have kind of handled end-of-game situations? What's up, dog?
As promised, there it is.
Love it.
Yes, there, here. All right. Well,
end of game play calling, especially with the Falcons game. They run the quarterback twice at the end there. Fields was clearly fatigued there. That situation not very good for Getsy.
Yeah, I think it's fair to ask those questions. You know, like, obviously, you know, Justin at the end of games, Luke at the end of games, you know, there are a lot of firsts for them in these sorts of situations. And I think it's fair to ask all of those questions now. You know, the interesting thing about it, guys, is, like, if you sort of look at it, I'm sure there are lots of Bears fans that feel this way. A couple of years from now, if they wind up with, like, a top 10 pick because of this, you know, and out of this, I mean, is there a scenario where these good competitive losses actually wind up being the best thing for the franchise long term? And I'm not saying they're trying to lose, but I think there is that angle to it, too. But, yeah, I think it's fair to ask those questions because, you know, a lot of these situations are first for Justin, and obviously a lot of these situations are first for Luke, too, as a play caller.
Albert Breer with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app. The Bears' next opponent is the Jets, and there's controversy there regarding what's happening with Zach Wilson. What is the opinion nationally about Zach Wilson, just personality-wise and quarterback-wise? Because it seems as though that he rubbed the media, maybe some players, the wrong way by saying, yeah, I was inept, but it's not my fault.
The biggest problem, Hoodie, is, like, what the questions were on Zach Wilson coming out of BYU in the questions, you know, 2 years later. And it's on the field. It's where does he see it well enough, you know? And there were a lot of spectacular plays that he made at BYU and that you would take and say X, Y, and Z, that, like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and they look great on a highlight reel, but, you know, when the scouts would drill down on some of that stuff, they'd say, well, if he had just sat in the pocket for a second, he had this guy and this guy and this guy open, and why did he bail out of that situation? Why did he scramble? And yeah, he made a spectacular play at the end, but what was his process to going there? I think that stuff has really shown up, you know, early as a pro, where, you know, I think you've seen it in some of the games where He is quick to scramble. He's quick to get out of the pocket, and he's quick to take chances, which he's wound up paying for. And then the second piece of it is just sort of the demeanor and the attitude. And I'll tell you what, guys, like I thought that interaction with the was about as bad as it gets, quarterback, you know. And I've had quarterbacks tell me in the past, you know, because the position you're in is the face of a franchise, it all be if things are going well, and it has to be me if things aren't going well. And this is the opposite of that. So, you know, I know it seems like a little thing at a press conference, and a lot of people will say, well, you're in the media, and, you know, you're just upset that the guy, you know, is like, I'd rather a guy be himself, so see who he really is. And, you know, I think that little interaction gave you some insight into that and into some of the questions that were being asked about him when he came out in 2021.
Albert, the Cowboys beat the Vikings 40-3. What did that game say more about? The Cowboys, that they're actually a contender for the Super Bowl, or that the Vikings at 8-2 are kind of a flimsy 8-2?
I don't know if they're a flimsy 8-2. I still think that's a really good veteran group. I think there were a couple circumstances in that game. Justin Jefferson was banged up. The left tackle, Kristen Darrisaw, you know, he goes out. Like, he's as good, I think, as a young left tackle as there is in the NFL. So, you know, they had to deal with some things in game that were a little bit different. And I think coming off the emotional win over Buffalo, obviously, you know, you can ask the question, how did they handle that? You know, and so I think that probably winds up being a little bit more of a blip, and they get a chance to go back out there and prove themselves against New England on Thursday night. I do think it's encouraging for Dallas because, you know, what we've seen from the Cowboys.
We lost Albert. Jonathan. We lose Jonathan, too? All right. Chris Bleck in for Cap today. Jonathan Hood's with me as well. We're talking football with Albert Breer. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to your Bears calls. Maybe we'll talk to Albert Breer for some more NFL conversation as well. Bleck in for Cap. It's Cap and Jay Hood right here on ESPN 1000.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Ba, ba,
ba, ba, ba. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Tickets. That's the theme for the AEW Heavyweight Champion, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. Caller 1, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You can win a pair of tickets to go to AEW Dynamite at the Wintrust Arena tomorrow, Thanksgiving Eve. Hope you have a good time. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10. Chris Bleck's in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. Still to come, I have a question for you, the Bears fan, regarding the Bears and Justin Fields. We'll get to that coming up at 9 right here on ESPN 1000. Chris, I got a question to ask you about Twitter. Mm-hmm. There's something going on regarding Twitter, right, as far as going on Twitter, looking, scrolling through, and liking something you're not supposed to like.
Oh yeah, you see something, you click the like, and then you say, ah, maybe I shouldn't do that. I could see that. I think people have done that before.
Shay, is there a story out there in which someone liked something on Twitter that they weren't supposed to?
Yeah, so the Jets obviously had a bad weekend offensively against the Patriots, and Zach Wilson took none of the blame. Well, Jordan Lewis of the Cowboys, the corner, quote tweeted some film of Zach Wilson missing throws, throwing should-be interceptions, and quote tweeted it with, "Zach Wilson, you don't owe your defense anything." Sauce Gardner, the Jets star corner, got caught liking this tweet and said he liked it by mistake and that he has faith in his quarterback.
Liked it by mistake, Chris.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Jay Hood, you are the best on Cap and Jay Hood. Thank you, sir. And by the way, Cap sucks. Whoa.
Yeah, and that's where you have to pull it back.
Yes.
You say, oh, unlike. Like, yes. At first, you're like, okay, my initial reaction, like, there's a nice supporter of the show. And then you get to the end and you're like, whoop, nope. That's a teammate. No. That's our guy.
Because you do have to be a careful, you know, liker of tweets.
Sure.
Like Shea Dorley. Very careful with that. I mean, first of all.
Oh, Shea's protective over the likes?
Of everything. He has to really think about it. Do I really like this? If I say like, if he likes it, he really likes it.
Okay. That's noted. Now I'm aware. But, usually, you know what I do, like, to be totally honest? Usually my likes or retweets are things so I can remind myself later to bring them up on shows.
Yes.
So I have a running scroll there of like, hey, there's something that'd be interesting. Okay. And then I can go back to it. It's basically to save time. That's what I use it for.
Likes have been a bookmark for, I think, all of
us. Yeah, right? Yeah.
There's a column I want to read, but I don't have time for it, so I'll like it, and I'll get back to it at some point.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, what's funny about that is we never go back and, like, unlike it after we read it. It just sits there in the bin.
Yeah, it's just there.
Part of the issue, though, is they made likes public. So, like, if people have their timeline now set to home, they'll see Shane Orling liked this tweet. So I have to make sure if I'm giving something my like stamp of approval, it's not going to bite me in the ass.
Well, you liking weird stuff? What are you liking
I'm
just over there?
Like, we saw Doc Rivers' account get hacked, right? And he was liking, adult content on Twitter, for lack of a better term.
Maybe he liked it.
Right, but I don't want that to happen to me. So I gotta be careful.
Don't like it then.
I'm not liking it, but I'm telling you, this is why you have to be careful when you're handing out the likes. Like you said, you don't want to be seen liking something, slandering a teammate.
Well, right, yeah, like that. That's I think a little different than the old. How would you say that? The booty pick like.
I love a good booty pic, baby. I saw this Instagram booty model and I said, like. And I said, uh-oh, I'm the coach of an NBA team. Better not do that, baby. But she did have a nice onion.
So Doc Rivers decided he wasn't going to do that. And he pulled that like back, baby.
Yeah, you gotta pull it back.
And don't blame Blake.
You know what I'll do sometimes is...
Charlie?
I'll like a tweet. Like, if there's a tweet I really don't like, I will like it, and then 4 minutes later go back and unlike it.
What does that do?
So, that, like, if it's a tweet that only has 4 or 5 likes, if they look back and they're like, why is there less likes now?
So you're hoping that person sees the like, and then they go back to it because they're so obsessed with how many likes they get?
Yes.
That when they go back to it and there's one less?
Exactly.
Do you do the same thing following and unfollowing people?
I've done that before.
Why, Charlie? Why do you put yourself in
this? This is Charlie.
Charlie, why do you do this?
I got to prove a point, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you got to let people know that they're not worth the follow, even though you committed, but now you have to decommit.
Charlie always, he has a stand, doesn't he? He's standing up for his cause. Whatever it is, it's Charlie's cause.
That's why he's the best. He's a beaver and a duck.
It's funny.
Are you aware of this? He's a fan of both Oregon teams.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know. Is that a Cubs Sox rule in Oregon?
A little bit. I don't know.
What do you call yourself? A platypus?
That's what it's called in Oregon. That's what you say if you're somebody who likes both. You're a platypus.
It's ridiculous. I've never heard of anything like this. You can't, like,
you're arch rival. What?
Like, maybe like three people who like Michigan and Michigan State, and they're all hated in the state of Michigan. Like, if you're that guy, everybody hates you.
I'm a Chicago Bear and Green Bay Packer fan.
Right. Like, what are we doing?
I'm all about love. I'm all about bringing people together.
That's not sports, Charlie.
That's very interesting. No, I have never heard of an Oregon State fan.
Chris, the thing about Chris Black that I love is he doesn't just like USC. He loves Notre Dame, too.
Yeah, both. I just love it. The Golden Dome, touchdown Jesus, that's fantastic.
Hoodie's
can't wait.
A big Georgia Tech guy.
Can't wait for ND to lose by 50 this weekend.
Those are all, I would say, much more intense rivalries than Oregon State.
Don't you call it something?
Yeah, apparently we can't call it the Civil War anymore or something like that. But, they're playing this weekend, and I'm going to be rooting for Oregon State. But, you know, it's I just hope both teams have fun.
But we can't call it the Civil
War.
Both
teams have fun.
How did you get the job?
What?
How did you get the job?
A rivalry
here?
That was formerly known as the Civil War. I hope both teams have fun.
Thank you. Love you,
Charlie. I hope the North and the South win. What?
Come on, Char Dog. What's going on there?
What is that? That's really interesting. Well, that's got to change. Under the auspices of Bleck and Shay and me, we're going to change you on that. This whole thing. I'm a Cubs and Sox fan. Look at, I've got a different jersey. Sox on one side, Cubs another. Yeah, you know what? Those guys get their ass kicked. Get out of here with that.
Come on.
Stop.
That's amazing.
I'm going to have to pick one team. Oregon. But it's going to be completely unrelated to the Oregon schools eventually.
Oh, okay. Now you're going to go outside.
So now you're pulling the, what's that?
I'm a mercenary.
An Abdallah. You just find a front-running team to join, and you just kind of go along. Here's a team on a 10-year run of championships. Let's just join aboard.
Wow.
Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry.
Well, that's the first time I've heard that out loud.
Oh, well, I've said it before.
I've said it before.
Wow. Black and Abdallah listeners, they know.
Okay.
He'll be feisty. I guarantee you. He'll be texting me in a minute.
We have a question to ask you regarding Justin Fields, and that's coming up in 2 minutes